Okay. What we have left to do is, if you look down here, we did introduction to procedures. We need to do introduction to functions, internal procedures, more internal triggers, and arrays. That's roughly three classes. I don't think it's any more than three classes. Okay. So we basically, you always get the last week of classes unless something, you know, unless we have major snowstorms or I get sick for long periods of time or something like that. So if you look at the schedule, okay, we've got after this week, we've got three more weeks. So we've got one, two, and then we go into here. Your finals week is the 17th. So your final is, I don't remember whether your final is the 17th or the 19th, but it's that week. Okay. That week, I'm going to give you as an open laugh. Okay, so my calculations are that I can give you one more day as an extra lab. And I was thinking about Thursday of this week, as opposed to the other alternative is the week before the first, right after Thanksgiving. And I think it might be more beneficial to give it to you this Thursday, and we'll still have plenty of time to finish up the things I want to finish. So I basically would like your opinion. Would it be better to do this Thursday as an open lab or after Thanksgiving as an open lab day?
I like this Thursday.
You like this Thursday?
Not many people in the vote, I guess.
Right. Where do you stand on it? Don't care.
That's fine with me.
I mean, I basically think that probably it's better to spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And I plan on having extra days. And because snowfalls happen not so much this semester, I get sick, things happen, whatever. Okay, so we're going to then look at the 21st, and I'll post that up as an open lab day. And then we have one day here on that week, and 2 days on the week that comes back, and that combined with today, I think is fine. I think we'll make it all right. I may talk fast the last week, but I think that will work. Okay, so you got to make the decision all by yourself.
No democracy here.
Okay.
You're here.
Huh? You're here, you get to make the decision. Okay, so the 21st we will make it a open lab day. Okay, so now I want to get into the cursors. And now we just have to figure out what I called it. Why am I doing this? Date modified. I put it out last night. No, that isn't it. I've got the papers here. Did I save it someplace else? Oh well. Let me just check my other drive and see if I was smart enough to put it on that. And I wasn't. Okay, I printed it out. Okay, then I guess we're gonna write it. Okay. So, anybody got it? You probably have it, right? Let me steal yours then. Since I could have sworn I saved it last night.
You want a paper copy or you want an empty note too?
I was going to have you just put it on a flash drive, if you have a flash drive. If not, I can give you a flash drive.
Okay, do that. It's already on a flash
drive. Huh?
It's already on a flash drive.
Okay. So just come up and put it up on a flash drive. And we'll see if you did it the same way I did it. I still can't believe that I didn't put that on there. I put the other things that I wanted on there. I didn't put that. Okay, while he's doing that, when I set this up, I have two cursors, right? Okay, we had the inventory cursor and we have the department cursor. And when I set it up, I had the cursor for the department bring in the department name and the department number. So I had to bring in department and department name. And then I had the second cursor bring in the on hand, and there could be a lot of other things out there. There's a flash drive right over there.
Should be the only thing in there.
Go ahead. Oh, well, it's the only thing. I could probably handle that.
If I did it correctly.
The E and F of mine, right. Okay. That looks like a lot like what I did. So we've got the right thing here. Okay, so I've got the two cursors, as I said, and the inventory cursor has the department and the department name in it. And that's coming in from inventory. Now, there can be a load of other things out there, but for this program, the only thing I needed was the department number and the department name. So those are the things that I'm bringing in. And so that's coming in from the inventory, and I'm doing an order by department. Okay, frequently when I'm using multiple cursors, I do the order by, because then I know I can match them. Okay, in a more logical way if I have them in the same order. The second cursor is the one that has more of the information on it. And in this case, all I need is on hand. Okay, it's the inventory. One is inventory department, one is inventory, he called them. I called them when I did it. Department and inventory. So the same basic thing, I just didn't happen to have the inventory in here. So this one I'm taking in on hand. I'm also going to be looking at the department on that one because I want to match it to the department here. But I don't have to select it because I'm not going to be using it. I just need it for matching purposes. So I want to match the two departments. Okay, I want to match the department on one table to the department on the other table. So, I then open the inventory department cursor, okay? And so I'm opening this one that deals with the department. I'm fetching in the record for the first department. So if the first department was Department 100 or something like that, I'm fetching in Department 100 and the department name, okay? And then I say, in my loop, while inventory department cursors found loop. And as we've talked about before, these three lines are not necessary. They're, if something went wrong and it's open, close it up. Okay, but if I'm processing correctly, then there shouldn't be anything open. So I shouldn't have anything to close. Okay, that's kind of a catch me if I have a problem set of lines. So I now have the inventory cursor, and I have put them into V department and V department name. So that I've got something in V department, so when I open the second cursor, which I haven't done yet, it's got something in V department to compare to, okay? There wouldn't be anything in V department if I hadn't put something in there, okay? So I put something in there, and then I can say, okay, now I want to open the inventory cursor. So I go down and I open the inventory cursor next. Then I am setting my on hand to zero. Okay, so I'm setting on hand to zero because I want to accumulate the on hand from all of the records that match. So basically, again, if I read Department 100, I've now got all of the records on the inventory for Department 100. And I can go through and add them all up as I'm processing. So I say fetch, I've opened the second cursor, I fetch it into V on hand. Okay, because it's selecting on hand, I'm putting it into V on hand. And then I just go through a loop on that second group, because if there was one 100, there may be 10 100s in the inventory, because I may have received in 10 things, 10 different orders. Okay, I may have received in. So I have fetched the first one in the second cursor, and then I go through and I add and I put out the line just so that I'll have a line, and then I add and put out the line. Okay, and I should have said I fetch. I add, I put out the line, I get the next record, and I keep doing this as long as there is still a record for Department 100. When there isn't a record for Department 100, then I've gathered all of the information. So I come down here and I do an insert, and I put in the department number 100, the department name, and the total on hand that I've just accumulated. Okay, again, these cursors or these files are in a one-to-many relationship. So there's one record for the department, 100. And there can be multiple records for the inventory with Department 100 on it, so that I keep adding to it, okay? So when I finally finished adding to it, I do an insert with that total, and I close the second cursor, the inventory cursor. Then I fetch another department. So let's say it's Department 200. I fetch department 200, okay? And then I come down, I've done the fetch here, and that ends the loop. So I loop back and say, okay, as long as I found a department, and I did, I found department 200. Then in case I forgot to close the inventory one, I will now close it and then reopen it. Okay, So I open the second one, set the on hand to zero, fetch anything, the first thing is 200, and I keep going through that over and over and over again for as many as they come in for 200. Okay? So again, I've got a match between the department on the department table, which there's only one of, and the department on the inventory table, which has many, potentially many records with department 200. Okay? There might be no records. There might be one record only. It will handle that, but the potential is that there's multiple. If there's none, it tries to do a fetch, and it finds that it's not found, and it just gets out of there. Okay? But if there is a matching record, it goes through that inner loop and goes through it over and over again. Okay? Keeps adding to the total. When it's handled all of the 200 records, then it gets out. Okay, so when I open this cursor, I get everything. And I keep stepping through it. There's the line where I step through it and get another department. Okay? Every time I get another department, I reopen this cursor to get the records that match that department. So I reopen that cursor to get the records that match that department. And so then I go through the inner loop and I process each of the records that matches that department. Yes, no, maybe? Ask questions. If you have some. Which basically means you guys, yes. The what part?
The beginning part.
Yeah, up at the top.
Yeah.
I've got, okay, I know what I need to do
like
this.
Where it says beginning, like I kind of lost it.
Okay, this part right here?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm actually going to start with what you just asked the declare. If I have a department name, and an on hand, those are going to end up containing information that I read in. The total is going to be information that I gather or I accumulate, okay? So those first three are data that is coming in from the tables. And the last one is something I'm accumulating. So the first cursor that I open, I'm bringing in department and department name, okay? The second cursor, which is the one I open repeatedly, because every time I open a record up here and get a new department, I'm going to want to open this second cursor to get all of the departments that match it. So I go down to the begin, and I say open the department cursor. I'm going to just call it the department cursor. Okay? So I'm going to open that department cursor that he called inventory department. That's going to have all of the department numbers. So it's going to have a record for department 100, let's say, a record for department 200, a record for department 300, and so forth. Okay? So I open that cursor, and then I fetch the first record from it. Okay? And that first record will get me department 100. Then I say, okay, now, while I still have a record in that department cursor, I'm going to do this loop. When I have processed all the records in the department cursor, I'll quit. So I'm saying while there is still something in the department cursor, I'm going to do this loop. And I drop down and I go through the, is it open? If it is, close it. And again, those three lines are not necessary if you've done the processing correctly. They're kind of a safety hatch. So as soon as I start the loop, I say, okay, now I need to get all of the records from the inventory cursor that have the same department number as the department number I currently am looking at from the department cursor. Okay, so I've got to get all the ones that match. So I open the inventory cursor, and the inventory cursor says, bring in the on hand every place where there's a match between the department and the V department. And again, V department is what I am storing the department in. And so it's comparing, and if there's five records that have the same department number, then it will bring in those five records. Okay, so I have those five records. Now I set the on hand to zero, because for every department I want to start out at zero. And then I fetch the first record in the inventory cursor. So if there were five records there, I've just fetched the first one. Okay, so I fetch the first record. Then I check. Do this loop while it's found. If it didn't find anything, then I'm out of there. I'm out of that loop. But it found something. We said there were five records. So it found something. So I'm then saying, okay, while it's found, take and add the on hand to the total on hand, and then assign it to the total on hand. That's how I do an accumulator. I say, take the accumulator, add something to it, and put it back in the accumulator. And then I say, write out a line, just because I want to see it. In reality, would I write out a line? No. But I'm writing out the line so that I can check myself. So I say, okay, write out the current amount for the department is, and I put out the total on hand. Okay? So I'm writing out a line that tells what it is. And then when I write out the line, I now fetch the next record. So I'm now fetching the second out of the five records, and I will loop back. It was successful, and so I add the amount to it, I write out the line, and I fetch the third record. I go back, the fetch was successful, I add to the total, I write out a line, and I fetch the fourth record. I go back, the fourth record was there, I add to the total, I write out the line, and then I read the fifth record. And I go back up, it was found, so I add to the total, I write out the line, and now I attempt to read again, but there were only five records, so the read is unsuccessful. And since the read is unsuccessful, or the fetch is unsuccessful, when I go back up to the while, it says, no, it's not found. So I drop out of that inner loop, do the insert, and then I close the inventory cursor because it had all of the records for department 100. So I close it. Then I fetch the next thing from the department and it gets department 200. And I go back, and as long as it got something, I start over again. And I go in and I fetch all the records from the inventory cursor that have a 200 on them. And I go through. Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Does it make sense?
Yeah, the first time I was confused.
Huh?
The first time I was confused.
No, that's fine. Yeah. If it makes sense now, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, how about you?
It
clearly makes sense to him since he wrote it, so I'm not going to ask that. Okay? So that's the basic parts of doing a cursor. Okay, so what I've asked you to do, this was kind of that first one. Okay? And then there is more assignments on cursors. So if you go back to looking at the homework and looking at some cursor examples that I gave you, or cursor things I asked you to do. Okay. That first one only requires one cursor. So I'm saying, first problem, write a program to accomplish the following. Use the sample employee database. Give everyone in Department 10 a raise. So I'm just looking. If it's Department 10, then I go through and do the calculation to give them a 10% raise and so forth. Okay. So try those. If we have any problems, if we've got a lab day on Thursday, it would be really good if you tried a couple of those between now and Thursday. And then if you have problems with them, we can look at them on Thursday in the lab. Okay? So I would try to do that. Okay. You're really okay on it. You understand what's going on. This is very much a copy or a alteration of the first cursor problem that we had. Oh no, it's actually the second. Sorry. Continue in example one using cursors. And the bottom one. Continue example one using cursors, and the bottom one, this is basically the same as that. Okay, so the logic, if you compare the logic to what I just did to this one, it is basically the same. I have a drive cursor, which is the department cursor, and I have a donation cursor, which is the inventory cursor. So basically, if you took this program and just changed that, it's the same program. Okay, the logic was the same. It just matches with this. And it's the same right up to writing the DBMS line. Okay? So this is the same logic. And so you want to go through this one as well. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, then what I want to look at next is functions. We looked at procedures last Thursday. Today I want to look at functions. Okay. So a function is very much like a procedure, except that a function returns one thing. Okay, so a function returns one thing, whereas a procedure can pass information back down. A function is only going to return one thing. Okay, so I start out and I created a function here. So I said create or replace function, and I called it function funcalc1 or something like that. So I have a function there. Okay. Then I have on there, the next thing is the thing that I am passing. And I'm only passing one thing. And so I have what I am passing up there. Okay, so I'm passing the ID. In other words, this will receive an ID. When I look at the program that calls this function, it will be sending up an ID. And then return number is kind of, well, it's not exactly what I would have called it. Because you put under return number is any variables that you need, and then including the variable that you're going to return. So it's not just the variable you're going to return. It's variables that you need and that you're setting up to use. Okay? So I am down here at the bottom of the below here. I'm going to call the function. So I'm calling the function, and let's look at that for a minute. Down here, I say function calc 1, the ID number. So I'm calling that function. Now notice how that's written. It's written the same way you write functions in a lot of languages. Over here, I have the new goal, which is the place it's going to be received. I'm going to do the function, and whatever is returned is going to be assigned to the new goal. Okay? So I am calling a function, and I'm saying, go do that function, and whatever you return, put into the new goal. Whatever gets returned from the function. So I'm saying, go do the function and pass it the ID number. Now, where did the ID number come from? If you look at the program itself, I've got the ID number, and I took it in from the user. Okay, so the VID number came in from the user. And I am now calling the function and sending it the VID number. Okay? So I call a function, I send it the VID number. And up here where I say create or replace function, inside parentheses, I have the thing that I'm sending. And I could have sent more than one thing, but I'm only sending one thing in this case, the VID number. Then I say, okay, I'm going to need a VCont amount because I'm going to get that from the file. So I'm going to need a VCont amount. And I'm going to need something to return. And I call the thing I wanted to return the return donation. Okay, so I'm putting up there the variables that I need, and that includes the return number. Okay, and when I first did this, I tried putting the variables up on the top, and I got into problems. It wants the variables after the return number. So, then I go down into the begin, and I said select cont amount into V cont amount from new donation one. Okay, so I've got a copy of the donation table, and I'm saying select the cont amount into V cont amount from new donation one, where the ID is equal to the VID number. Now, down here, I have the new donation one. And you'll notice that the version that I use there only has one record per ID. Okay, the version that I use there has only got one record per ID. If I had multiple records, I would need to set up a cursor. And we'll look at that. How you can go about setting up the cursor and everything, but not today. Today I want to just go through the basics. So I've got select, and I've got only taking a record that has one ID. Because if I have more than one ID, it will give me the error that I selected too many records. Because if I'm selecting multiple records, I need a cursor. Okay? And as I said, we'll look at the cursor for this when I get into the more advanced on it. So then I said, okay, now if VCont amount is greater than 10, okay, then I want to take VCont amount, multiply it by 2, and make it V return donation. Okay. And then I did a return and said return it. Okay. Else, if it's not greater than 10, I take VCont amount one and multiply it by 1.5 and return it. Okay. So I am going in, and either way, I am returning something. The thing that I return is going to go into the new goal. Because I said, do the function, send the ID, whatever comes back goes into the new goal. So once I return it, whatever comes back goes into the new goal. Okay? And then I write out the line, the DBMS line, and write it out. Okay. What I want you to do is take this code, if you want this code, and try the function. You may have to make a copy of donation. I think you all have a copy of donation, don't you? So you may have to create a table called New Donation 1. That's a copy of donation. And then if you do that, you can take these two lines of code and run them. Now the same with the procedure. When I write the function, I have to run it. And I actually don't see that there. But you have to run the function just like you had to do a procedure. You have to do the @ and create it. And I don't think I took a picture of that. There it is down there when I finally did it. Okay, just before I ran it, I did it. So you have to do this @ function calc1. So that it gets created, and then the function is created, and then you can run it. Okay, so go into the editor, say edit function calc 1, copy all of that and put it in, and then you'll have the code that you need. And then go into the editor and say edit calc function calc, or whatever names you would like to call it, and put this part in. So you're making these two exactly matching mine. And the one thing that I didn't mention is down here I took the new goal and converted it to character, which makes it concatenate a little bit better. But that's simply taking a numeric and converting it to character. And the other thing I should comment is obviously, and there's an example further down where I take and put these returns after the if, as opposed to embedding the returns, which is kind of exiting the if statement. I put the return after the if statement, and that will work fine as well. And here's the one where I did the return outside the if. So I did the if, put something into the return donation, but then
after the if, I actually did the return, which means it's the last thing in the function. Which is always a good programming technique.
Okay, so you got, again, three steps in this. You got to make a table called new donation one, which is a copy of the donation table. And then you have to write the function, and then you have to write the module that calls the function. And if you don't have a new donation table, that's what the data that I have in there is. You can put anything in you want. It's got an ID number, a drive number, a date, and a contribution amount. And that's the only things that it contains. I even did what I don't do when I'm doing this. I think it's okay to remove.
Okay, how are you doing on the function one? Have you tried it? Okay. Have you tried it?
I don't have the donation table anymore. I can look it up.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's see.
In about 5 minutes more, we're gonna move on, so if you don't get it done, you'll have to do that on your own.
Again, you can just copy and paste these things in, and you can use another table. I mean, you can make up your own function that uses one of your tables, as long as it has a numeric thing on it and an ID, so you could use any table you want.
Do you know how to run a script?
Yeah.
I've got the donation table on the script if you want it.
So I actually just moved on to trying to do a function
now. Oh, okay.
After putting like 3 lines in, I'm like, that's all I have to test it.
No, 3 lines is fine. You know, 1 line is fine. 2 is probably better because then you at least. Can test both.
And I don't have to do anything to lock in function.
What do you mean lock in?
Didn't we have to do something with procedure?
You have to create it.
Create it.
Yeah, and that should be all you have to do.
Okay.
You do the at sign on it so that it gets created. And then you can just run it. And again, the thing that gets returned is the thing that gets put over on the left here. So I have the place I want to hold and what is returned equals the function and the ID number that I'm passing. Did you get, have you got the function working?
I just spelled something wrong.
Yes, story of my life.
Yep, there it is. Select needs to be spelled correctly.
Yeah, that's one of the kind of keywords.
Is PLSQL the only one that allows for this type of like functions and procedures within?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other that does. I'll have to look up MySQL. That's the other one I know. And SQL Server, I don't know whether that allows it. This was one of the advantages that Oracle had, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know if the others have it or not. They're later than it. I should look and see if MySQL has it. Because it really does make it into a powerful tool.
Especially if you can call them from a program.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just keeps a lot of things hidden.
Yeah, no. But I mean, you know, more to the point, it makes a lot of things so you don't have to write more than one time. You build up a, you know, a directory of all of these things that you want to, especially calculations that you want to do, and not have to rethink the calculations every time. Okay, I'm going to move on and look at the next thing, and I suggest you play around with creating the function if you haven't got it done, and just
make. Just in time.
Pardon?
Just in time.
Oh, you've done it?
Yeah.
Great. My timing was perfect. Okay, so I'm going to look at internal procedures, and then we'll save the moron for next Tuesday. Okay, so I can put a procedure internally inside as well. Okay, so I've got this procedure now. But instead of having it external, I've got it internal. Now, I'll tell you, to start out with, this is the way I write a procedure. I write it internally, and then if I decide I want it external, that's fine. I make it external. But I get to test it with just one thing if it's internal. I don't have to have worry about making changes to the function or the procedure and then loading them in and everything. I've got them available. So here I have my program, which was the same program that I had before, but now I've put the procedure in, and the procedure is under the declare, and I just copy and paste the procedure in there. Okay? Inside the procedure, I can then do the work and use the things that I passed it, and okay, so I said down here, I'm saying if the con amount is greater than 20, then call this procedure and pass it the VID number, the VDrive number, and the VCon amount, which gets stored as the PID number, PDrive number, and PCon amount. I go ahead and do the insert. Okay, so basically, if I, again, I can go out and do it and just copy this in. I like the idea of the external procedure better for actually working, because then I can call it from a bunch of things. The internal procedure, as far as I'm concerned, kind of, okay, that's fine, but if I wanted it internally, I could have just coded it. I didn't have to have the procedure. The procedure external has a lot more value to me than the one internally, but I can do it either way. And as I said, what I have found is that when I'm testing, I do it internally and make sure it's working, so I'm only dealing with one entity. Then when I know it's working, I remove it, test it again to make sure that I managed to remove it correctly, and then I have the external procedure. Okay, so that is the internal one. And on this one, I was calculating a new thing, and so I am doing a calculation in there, and that's really the only difference, is that I'm doing a calculation. If you scroll down a little further, this shows that the procedure, let me pull it up a little higher. Okay. This shows that the procedure can access information both within the procedure and within the main program. Okay? So by putting that in there, internal, when it's an internal thing, it has access to the variables that I set up outside the procedure and access to the variables that I set up inside the procedure. So basically, the ones inside the procedure are local, the ones outside the procedure are global. So they're available within the procedure, and I could have multiple procedures in here and they could all access those. So that gives me access to something outside. Okay. I'm not sure that I see anything I did on that one. I think that's just other examples of showing that I can put in an if statement and things like that. Okay. But essentially, these are using a procedure inside. So I've got, and I'm going to be able to, in the next one, we'll see functions inside. So I can use procedures inside, I can use functions inside, so I've got the access to them both internally and externally, that they can be included in my program or they can be external, okay? And when I have the procedure, I can access both the things that are local to the procedure and the things that are external or global. So that's the example with the procedure inside. Okay. And I'm going to leave the others for next Tuesday. So we'll finish up procedures and functions next Tuesday. And then we'll have triggers and arrays left, so we're in great shape to finish up. I tend to put the intensity at the beginning of a course and lighten up toward the end, as opposed to the other way around. All right, we're done.